Hi, I'm Aman.
And I'm Lena.
And this is Grounded Geeks,
where we make the geek world relevant.
Sorry. Why is that funny?
I felt like you almost forgot what to say next. Like,
no, I forgot. Didn't. I was trying to put
too much of a pause.
It was like the pregnant pause.
Okay, whatever. Buongiorno, Aman. Como
Buongiorno, Lina.
Como stai? Which means, how are you in Italian?
No hablo italiano.
Okay, that's not correct. Grazie, Google Translate. I know how to say how are you now in Italian. Italiano. So, okay. Well, today we are talking about the absolutely adorable new Disney movie called...
Pixar movie called... Luca.
Such a cute name. So cute.
It matches the movie perfectly in its cuteness.
Yes.
Very well titled.
Really cute. Super adorable movie. Love it. I believe the director himself is Italiano. So, and I think I read or saw something somewhere that the idea for the story is based off of his own childhood of spending of summers in Italy and stuff. So,
that makes
very
sense.
Cute movie. It's streaming right now on Disney Plus for those who haven't seen it.
Shall we give our audience a brief synopsis?
Yes, go for it, Aman.
All right. So it's about this kid who is a mermaid?
Sea monster? Sea monster sounds offensive.
I know. I'm going to stick with mermaid.
Some sort of marine creature.
I'm going to say mermaid. And it's about him not feeling like he belongs under the ocean, so he goes to the surface. And apparently all of these mer people, when they are not wet, they basically become human. Yeah. And him and his friend Alberto's adventures to own and ride a Vespa around the world.
Yeah, that is the goal, the dream.
The dream. Many of people's dreams.
I know. I want a Vespa. I really want a Vespa. I want it even more now after watching this movie.
I wanted a Vespa a long time ago, and then that dream kind of fizzled, and then now it's been reignited by this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want it in red now.
I know. Although I like the other colors. Yeah. So... it's all about, and Luca's parents, other mer people, they really don't want him to go to the surface. Very similar to the Little Mermaid, because they're like, humans are dangerous. They'll murder you. Not untrue, honestly.
Not untrue.
And so, but Luca, does the same thing every day. He's really sad and bored with his life, and he wants to explore the world, and his curiosity leads him to go to the surface. Well, it's not really. It's Alberto who leads him to go to the surface.
Yes.
Alberto is the adventurous one, and he's been going to the surface, and then he teaches him the ways and how to walk and all that. So I thought that was cute. You know what I thought was really funny? I thought at some point they were going to explain why do they turn human when they're not wet. But no, it's just like, okay, this is a thing. This is just like a known thing in this world. And I'm like, okay, cool. I just went along with it. So,
yeah, I mean, it's truly a kid's movie in every sense of the term. They don't try to explain concepts in a complicated way. This isn't the Marvel universe trying to explain time travel across multiple shows and movies, which is a super complicated concept. There's a great YouTube video by The Nerdist where they actually cover quantum mechanics and how time travel could actually be possible and why the theory that they used in Endgame actually works. But
okay,
not good to get into for a kids movie.
Right.
Like, I mean, this is really truly aimed at the 5 to 10 year old crowd, I'd say.
Right. Although that video sounds interesting, and I guess we'll include that in the show notes now. But anyway.
Super fascinating.
Yeah. But the real world themes that Luca does touch on is, I believe the biggest one is friendship. And it's really cute. And
the struggle of not belonging.
Yes. And the struggle of not belonging, which we think every kid has experienced in their life. Yes. Aman and I especially experienced that because we moved around so much growing up. And that was like a very obvious way to feel like an outsider, honestly. Yes. Every time we moved to a new city, new country, new school, that sucked those first few weeks. But
yes, it did. But you know what? I gotta say that everyone I've ever talked to, ever, you know, regardless of circumstance, went through that feeling at some point as a kid of not knowing how to fit in, not feeling like they belong where they are. So in that sense, that particular theme in this movie is really universal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I gotta say, I really appreciate Disney as a company really leaning into themes for kids that actually make sense, you know?
Yeah.
Like if you're a kid and you watch this movie, you might actually have something to relate to.
Right.
Unlike, you know, for me, the first obvious connection for this movie was The Little Mermaid. And in that movie, like what 10-year-old kid is going to relate to a 16-year-old who wants to get married?
Like, some guy she doesn't even know.
like
girl,
what?
You saw him once on a boat. Okay. Like, it really makes no sense. It makes no sense. And she was willing, she gave up everything in her life just to be with that dude who you don't know. Didn't even know his name. Well, no, I guess
not a good lesson to teach your kids.
Terrible lesson. Why did Disney do that? For decades and decades, they just made stories about 16-year-old girls and wanting to find their true loves. Like, wow, way to just, okay.
To be fair, Disney took a lot of old, you know, fables and fairy tales and turned them into kids' movies. And that's what those themes were like. I mean, people forget Romeo and Juliet in the Shakespearean play. They were 14 and 15.
Yeah.
Like that was a normal time to get married and have babies back then. I think there's even a line in there where Juliet's mom was like, well, by the time I was your age, I had had you. And it's like, now thinking about that, it's like,
child marriage, okay. Awesome.
Sounds messed up.
Yeah.
But that's how it was in the old days. And Disney, not really, I guess they weren't really thinking about what it's like. I mean, I want to say now, but also some of these movies are very, very old, but not so old that 14-year-olds were getting married. They didn't.
There's still like weird state laws where it's like, okay for a 15-year-old to get married as long as they have parental consent. Like it's really messed up.
Yeah. But stuff. The Little Mermaid, I think, was made in 1989.
Yeah. But Snow White was from the 40s or something.
The 30s.
Okay, there.
It was
Sleeping Beauty the 40s? That was messed up too.
Maybe. Yeah. All these movies were pretty messed up. Not things that I would actually want my kids to be learning lessons from. So in that sense, you know, I'm glad they're moving on from that nonsense.
Yes, I'm glad too. I'm glad that this storytelling is evolving and they're making stories that are actually good and useful and relevant to children, actual children. Yes.
I mean, I don't want my kid to watch Beauty and the Beast and learn about Stockholm Syndrome at the age of 9.
No.
You know, no. like those are the, if you really think about it, those are the kind of themes that Disney was playing at back in the day.
I'm also glad they stopped killing off parents in these movies.
Like,
Luca has both his parents. It's wonderful. Yes. I'm really happy for him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They've stopped hating parents, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know why that was a thing. I feel like I read somewhere one time about why Walt Disney hated parents, but
that's weird. Yeah. I don't know what. Maybe they just thought that's the only sort of grief that a child could understand of imagining like losing their parents, but like how traumatic, my God, that's awful. So it's really bad. Anyway, I think Pixar has historically done better on making movies that are actually for children. Like Finding Nemo didn't have any weird romance to it. or Toy Story, or I mean, they had some
Monsters Inc.
Yeah. But
I mean, there were some romances here and there, but they weren't central to the story. And I feel like there's nothing lost in that.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that segues beautifully to our next theme that we picked up on this movie, which was platonic love.
Yeah.
I think that the friendship that Luca and Alberto had was just, it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was so, I was tearing up near the end. I was like, oh man, they're so cute. They're just good friends. But also, I mean, yeah, so you kind of see, obviously, their whole relationship throughout this movie, their whole friendship, and that point where Luca betrays Alberto. Man, that was so sad. But I think all of us as kids have done something stupid like that to our, where we've been awful to our friends.
Yes. Where,
that may not have been the intention, but you know, you, that's how you learn, right? How to be like a better person too.
Yeah.
By making those kinds of mistakes, and you realize what's actually important, and you realize loyalty, friendship, honesty. Those are important things and values to live by. Yeah. Which I think Luca learned. And
yeah.
Yeah, that was super cute. Also, love the whole Silencio Bruno scenes. Like, I love that. I mean, because both Luca and Alberto, like, they're just bumbling around trying to figure out how to be humans. But they're all, they also teach each other really wonderful things. Like, Alberto taught Luca. He's like, when you hear a voice in your brain that's telling, that's being all judgmental and telling you, you can't do this, you can't do that, you say, Silencio Bruno.
That's Bruno.
Luca's like, who's Bruno? Why do you call him Bruno? He's like, it doesn't matter. It's Silencio Bruno. And that's it. Now I feel like I'm going to use that next time. I feel like my internal monologue is being mean to me. I'm going to be like, Silencio Bruno.
Yes. When doubts are gnawing at your mind, that should be your mantra. Yeah. Silencio Bruno.
And what a cute, adorable way to explain that to little kids, right?
Yes.
I thought it was so, like, literally within two sentences, and you're like, oh, wow, great. So,
yeah. I mean, the lessons that they are conveying in this movie, in a sense, I feel like this is probably one of the best children's movies that I've seen in a very long time, in the sense that it speaks to kids. It really relates, I think, to the kinds of things that children go through. Mm-hmm. And I know this because deep down inside, I'm still 4 years old.
Yes. Can I confirm.
No shame. I have no shame. I accept who I am. But this movie, it speaks to kids and the specific kinds of struggles, I think, that their target audience goes through at that age. You know, I mean, it's fun to watch superhero movies and you know, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, but the fate of the world is not something that the average child is dealing with on any given day or, you know, life. So, but Luca very directly speaks to the kinds of struggles that kids go through. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated that.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. What did you think in general? This was obviously also a film representing Italian culture, Italian people, food, language, all of that.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I thought it was a really adorable deep dive on one specific culture or one town, like an Italian town.
Yeah.
I also wonder what Italians think of this movie. And you know, like, are some parts just so weird and stereotypical? Like, is it bad that now I just want to talk in an Italiano accent all the time? Like, I don't know.
Yes.
So,
it's bad that you want to do that. Yeah, that's bad. It's bad that you want to do that.
Okay, I'll stop. Silencio Bruno. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. In this case, you're Bruno.
But yeah, I mean, I wonder what Italians think of this film. And if some parts were overdone or something.
In watching it, I feel like yes, a lot of things I felt like personally were pretty stereotypical, but for me at least, it didn't seem like it was ever done in a way that was mocking Italians or Italian culture. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that 5 minutes after this goes up, somebody's going to text me or we're going to get a tweet. Who's like, I'm Italian. That movie was super offensive.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be eating our words here. But at least for me, it didn't strike me as being mocking. It seemed to be very representative of, I don't want to say representative, but I feel like they captured a particular facet of Italian culture that probably exists in these small towns, but not in a way that was mocking or making fun of or anything like that. I mean,
yeah,
the antagonist in this was very Italian. The, what was her name? Julietta? Julia's dad was, you know, he was a funny character, but he was funny in a way where he didn't, it didn't turn on him being Italian that made him a funny character.
Right, right. Like that wasn't the butt of the joke
exactly.
in being Italian. Yeah, which exactly. That's always the worst. Yeah, I agree. The only thing I wonder, and I didn't really have time to look into this, but I wonder if, because I looked up some of the cast, and I know there were Italian people involved. I don't know if the main characters, any of them are Italian. Maybe they have some Italian heritage. I don't know. But
yeah,
that's the only thing where...
They also like weren't speaking with an Italian accent.
No, but when they were saying very Italian words, like Julia, when she was talking about pasta, and she was like, fettuccine, penne, you know, like she said it with an accent. So
her regular speaking was with an accent, but Alberto and Luca did not in their regular speak have Italian. They weren't faking Italian accents.
No, but when they were saying very Italian words, like even their names, they would say it Alberto, you know, Luca, like they would say it like that, you know?
That's true.
So I appreciate that. But I also, you know, I know that if this film was supposed to be Japanese with Japanese characters, like, it would be a huge no-no if they got white people to be the main cast, you know? For example, I would be pissed about that. Like,
yeah.
And that's because it's already such an underrepresented culture in film and animation, et cetera. You know, that's what pisses people off. That there are so few times when, whether it's Asians, Black people, Hispanic, whoever, you know, who are represented in these films, that it's like when you mess it up like that, it's infuriating. So
definitely.
But anyway, I just kept thinking like, oh, I hope Pixar does, you know, whatever stories they do, I hope they take the opportunity to explore more cultures where it's not even like the main thing. It just happens to be Italian. That's what it felt like to me with Luca. They just happened to be at some Italian seaside town.
And
it would be cool if they did that with more countries, cultures, with their stories.
I think they're striving to. I mean, you look at a movie like Coco, you know, which takes place in Mexico. I mean, you can't just take a story and just fit it into any random culture, though.
Like,
it has to be baked in. And in this case, I think with Luca, I think they did. I feel like the story could have taken place anywhere.
Yeah.
But they made it a point still to integrate the particular things of Italian culture and really embedded it into the storyline.
Yeah.
You know? So I think they're on the right track. I think they're doing it well.
That's what I like too. So obviously I mean for stories that, you know, this was not a story that was dependent on being Italian, for example.
Yes.
They could have
been. A movie like Coco was dependent on taking place in Mexico.
Yeah, because the focus was on Dia de los Muertos. So, and that whole holiday, like, and everything. So, yeah.
For that one, the whole foundation of the struggle is based on something from Mexican culture.
Yes.
So that's one story that had to take place in Mexico.
Yeah.
Similarly, I thought with Moana, you know, all the mythos, they took it directly from Polynesian culture. So, you know, you can't force fit that into, you know, Florida.
Or, Norway.
Or Norway. Yeah.
Right.
But this was one where I feel like that struggle that they had, that this movie turned on, it could have taken place anywhere. And and in spite of that, I think they did a good job of incorporating Italian culture really well into the foundation of it.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm hoping they can do the same with other cultures. And like, you know, I always, this for some reason, while I was watching this movie, I kept thinking about, because it was beautiful too. The animation was gorgeous. Oh, it was like gorgeous. I love how far animation in general has come, and they're literally works of art. It's beautiful. And I know all the animators, you know, it takes months and months and sometimes years to make films like these. So just a big shout out to them, you know?
Yeah. I know that there was a whole thing when Luca was coming out, along with when Soul came out, which was the last two Pixar movies. I read a lot of random news articles saying that the animators and the people who worked on Luca were really ticked off that it went to Disney, straight to Disney Plus for free, not even with Premiere Access. Yeah. And I think that the filmmakers at Pixar should take heart that their work is not any less appreciated. It might be less appreciated by the executives at Disney, but it's not any less appreciated by the fans.
Yeah.
And because this was a movie so particularly geared at kids, I actually want to say that having it stream on Disney Plus for free was a service.
Yeah. In this case, yeah, for sure.
In this case, because we are, you know, even though we're getting out of a pandemic, a lot of people are still not comfortable going to movie theaters. Mm-hmm. Many kids,
Most
kids can't be vaccinated. Their schools are split between 50-50 remote and in person in some cases fully remote. And I think it's wonderful that parents and kids don't have to pay extra to enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
So even though people at Pixar may feel like they are not as appreciated, but for the rest of us who are not Disney executives, appreciate that this happened, you know, that we got to enjoy something so beautiful and wonderful without having to pay any more than we already do.
Yeah, agreed. The reason why I brought up animation in the beginning was...
Circle back, man.
The reason why I brought it up is while I was watching this movie, I just kept thinking about this is now going off on a personal tangent, but just seeing the really beautiful Italian seaside, countryside, all that, it reminded me a lot of... So for those of our fans who don't know, I studied abroad in Egypt while I was in college, and this was before all the Egyptian revolution, Arab Spring, all of that.
5 minutes before.
Yeah, barely. So I got the opportunity to also travel to Syria and Lebanon from there during my winter break. And we got to see the Syrian countryside on a day trip that we went to Damascus, the main city. And then on a day trip, my friends and I, we went to the countryside, and I was like, this is one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen in my life. And I just kept thinking to myself, why does everyone keep raving about like the Scottish Highlands and the English countryside when the Syrian countryside is just as beautiful, if not more so? And that's why I'm just hoping that Pixar continues to do these movies that are celebrations of different cultures and countries and geographies and all that. How cute would it be, right? To have a story about a cute little Syrian boy and or Mongolian girl or a kid in Kenya. And so it's just, there's so many amazing stories out there that there's no way to run out for them. And there's so much more they can do as well. So,
and with the way animation has advanced, you can capture certain kinds of beauty, environmental, human. Sometimes it can be captured better in animation than in filmmaking, in my opinion. So I have a deep appreciation for animation for that reason.
And honestly, because people have, it's just a human thing, right? We all have our biases, stereotypes, assumptions about people. Sometimes when you just see a real life human in a film, you can't help but think of those things. And with animation, I think it's just like, it takes that barrier away sometimes for people and allows the imagination to go further.
For sure. For sure. I know we recently did an episode on Bingo Love, but I wanted to just take a moment to delve a little bit more about the platonic love in Luca. And I at least really appreciate an emphasis on that. I feel like too often there is an attempt to try to force fit romantic love in situations where there is not any. And platonic love, I feel like, is no less important and no less beautiful. And I feel like Luca, the movie, and the character, I guess, really captured that really, really well. You know, the end of the movie was just as beautiful under that notion of platonic love as it would have been whether it was familial or romantic love.
Yeah.
Exactly. It should be okay to love your friends.
Right. Exactly. And that was the really beautiful thing about the movie Luca, is just is the wonderful love and friendship between Luca and Alberto.
Yeah. And I think that's it's probably a wrap for us. There's probably a million more things we could have talked about, but you all go watch the movie for yourselves.
Thanks for listening to Grounded Geeks.
Catch you next time.